Now, I know so many of you were not here before when Mama Arlene came and shared with us about her mission trip. It was also when Tanya came and shared with us about her mission trip to Thailand. We have a very deep bench here at Christ. A lot of people doing a lot of stuff for the Lord. God has really given us such a blessing in that way. But Mama Arlene was host to some of us who went with a team to Rwanda, and that was 2011, I think. Andy, was that 2011 was when we were there? Yeah. And we all, of course, were bitten by the Africa bug. We want to go back. But Mama, she said to Mother the other day that she was 16 years old. And Mother agreed and said, yes, we're going on 17 because they're the same age. They weren't in church, but they're not 16 and 17, I'm just saying. But we are so blessed to have Mama to share with us again this year.
Okay. If you'll excuse me, I'll deposit this. It's safe there. I am so very honored to be here. Where can I stand so that I can see what's on the monitor?
Back there, Mama. Straight back.
Oh, it's right there? Oh, great. I am technically challenged. Okay. If you will read along with me about Urukundo Foundation. Urukundo Foundation, and my eyes are not reading what's up there, is a learning center. It is also a home for children, and it is a farm. And a big part of our farm is thanks to Andy and her family. They have been very, very supportive with our farm. Urukundo is a home for abandoned children, abused children, orphan children, children who are street children with no place to go. And we now have 47 children who we are taking care of. Now, a lot of you parents can kind of sympathize with me. I have 25 teenagers between the age of 14 and 19. That's a challenge, but there's even a greater challenge. I have 15 under the age of 6 years. Now, that's a challenge. The teenagers are wonderful. I love them so much, and they are off to school most of the time. But the little ones are at home, and they spend a lot of time at Mama's house. And so the children are greeting you from halfway up the mountain. They're waving to you, and we just hope that you will accept their wave as their greeting to you. This is the sign. If you come to visit us, if you come on the road, and there's only one paved road that goes through our place. It goes from the capital, Kigali, to the university town of Butare. And our sign is along the road, and the young, handsome, very handsome young man, because he looks like his mother, is my son, Jerry. Okay, this is now the new guest house, and it was new when your group came. So they were like the first ones to stay in our guest house. The house itself came on the market quite suddenly, and you will see later the house I first lived in before this house became available. And in order to... We walked along the road, my helper and I, and he said, Mama, I want you to see this house. You've got to come and see this. I said, I have no money to buy a house. What are you talking about? He said, yeah, but you got to see it. I walked in, and the yard was breathtaking. Banana trees and beautiful flowers, and it looked just like there. It was quite lovely. And I said, oh, my, we have to have this. Well, you know, before I went away, I put $50,000 into a money market. Now, I had been pulling from that money market for a long time, so I had no idea what money might be in there. But I was going to save that money for my old age. Suddenly, it occurred to me that 80 might be my old age. And if I was going to get to use it, I'd better do it now. And so I said, okay, let's find out what's there. I sent an email to the gal who was handling the money market, and she said, how much do you need? And I said, I need $32,000. She said, you have $33,000. I said, send it. So God was taking care of making sure I would be able to have. And now I have a house with a flush toilet. But you're all welcome to come, but not all at the same time. I would love that. This then, if you see in the background, is the boys' home and the road that goes up to where I first live. And the boys' home is where all of the children meet together. They have devotions together. We have a television set, and the television set we first had was a flat face, and your group bought it for us. And somewhere along the way, thieves came in, broke into our house, and stole the television set. So the one we have now is not the one that was purchased, but Carnegie Mellon, Rwanda. Carnegie Mellon is out of Pittsburgh. It's a big university. But they, director who moved to Rwanda, he and his wife said, but the kids have to have that television. Now, we don't use it for television. We use it to watch National Geographic and old Disney movies on the VHS. Remember those? You have to have a certain machine to use them, and they have to but that's what we use. And so the children at least have a visual. And the Disney movie, my favorite is Bambi. I love Bambi. And I always was very upset because my sons are hunters. And they went out to looking to kill Bambi. That really didn't do well for me. But the boys' house then was the first house that we built, and I may have already told you about this last year, but some of you are new. We had opened a home for street boys, and we were renting a house. And everything you'll see here has been built since 2008, by the way. Nothing was there, just a mountain when we went in there. But we had bought some land there because we had chickens. And if you have chickens and children playing in the same yard, it gets messy. Not good. And so we bought this piece of land so that we could build a place for the chickens and have a place where the children could play, which was going to be a soccer field. Now, soccer field, you know, you just level the ground because we're on a mountain. You level everything before you can build anything. And somehow that soccer field became a basketball court. Now, there's a whole lot of difference between a basketball court and a soccer field. We had a guy who played basketball with Jordan, the one who's a basketball player. I kind of... Anyway, he came to our place and he said, you have a nationally measured basketball court. How did you do that? And I looked at him, rather bewildered, and said, well, you know what? I don't even know how it got to be a basketball court. I don't have any idea how it was measured. But it's there, and the children use it. And we were very blessed recently because Carnegie Mellon sent a team of 17 guys there, and they were redoing the basketball court. And I'm very grateful to them, and you'll kind of see them later. But, you know, they did the basketball court three-fourths. If you have one-fourth of a basketball court that isn't finished, you can't play basketball. So I'm looking to get enough to maybe finish that basketball court so the kids will actually be able to play basketball again. They do play volleyball on it within those dimensions, but you can't do basketball. So this is something that is very important. The house there, then, you're looking at, is the girls' house, and the nursery is on the far end. The girls' house is where we eat. This is the dining room. Pastor Sonny and Andy and all of you will remember the dining room. The kids actually serve the meals. They clean up after the meals. They scrub the floors. They do their own laundry. The kids are responsible for a whole lot of things. This is our babies, and they sit on a bench at the table. Their bench is higher than the other benches because they have to be able to reach the table. And so their bench is a bit higher. The nursery then consists of cribs. We ran out of space for cribs, and so I designed a bunk crib, and it worked. So now we have more space. But our babies now are not babies anymore. We only have 5 babies in the nursery now. We have 2 little girls that are 1.5 years old. We have 1 little boy that's 2.5. And then we have a little girl who is 6, but she has some physical problems, and so we keep her in the nursery also. So, but the nursery is protected for the children. They have, this is Sarah. And Sarah is the little girl you have out in the lobby on the picture with the fuzzy hair, all the hair. But now she has had her hair shaved off, so she does look a bit different. These are the mamas who take care of our babies. And Diane is in the mama's arms. Diana is 1.5 years old now. Diana was found on the street by a woman who was walking along, and she heard a baby screaming. And she went to see what the baby was screaming about. And the baby's mama was mentally deficient, and she had taken a bite out of the baby's face, so the baby was screaming and crying. And so she took the baby and from the mother and got help from other people to keep the mother detained and brought the baby to us. And so we are taking care of her. Her face is healing. We did everything we could. She also had a broken arm at that time and some other damage to her. But the mama is being treated, and that's good. And we have Diana, and Diana will stay with us as long as it's necessary. Wash day is every day. And this is, we have clotheslines. Most people just put their laundry on bushes and lay it in the grass. And the sun is our dryer. And you know what? You can't turn it off and on. If the sun isn't shining, the clothes don't dry. That can be a problem at times. This is our kitchen, and it is quite large. We now are cooking with biogas. Do you know what biogas is? Okay, biogas is made from, anybody know? Poop. Cow poop, pig poop, every kind of poop goes into biogas. But we actually have been able to build a field for biogas, and we have it piped into our kitchen, and we do half of our cooking with biogas and half with wood, so that we are also working with the economy. And that is in that kitchen. And this then is chapati, and chapati is made every Saturday morning, and the children make it. And so you can see it's a flat bread, so he has a flat bread. And if you notice the rolling pins, now they are very special rolling pins. They're wine bottles. You can't buy rolling pins. This then is our little clinic. It's a healthcare place. We have discovered that with children between 6 and babies, Band-Aids are almost an instant cure for everything. If you put a Band-Aid on it, it gets better really, really fast. And so we do a lot of Band-Aid work. But for the community, we are also there. And one night, somebody knocked on our door, saying they needed help, that there was a mother and father with a child. The child had fallen into a scalding, hot, boiling water. And you can see all of the white is where his skin was totally destroyed by the boiling water. And he is just a beautiful child. They brought him to us. I had some rescue sheets that firemen use for open burns to wrap the burn person so that you can take them to the hospital. So we wrapped him in that and took him to the hospital. And this is him in the hospital, and you can see that most of his body was scalded. He is back at home. He still has the bandages on, but he's back in school. And he is a very strong, brave little boy, and we're just really happy that we were there and that we had medicine that we could put on to save his skin and to get him to a hospital for emergency treatment. We don't do a heavy treatment at our place, but we do take care of getting them to where they can have the treatment that they need. We had a group come in from Arizona, and they were showing our children how to brush their teeth. And if you can see, the big thing she has in her hand is a mouth with teeth, and she's got a big toothbrush, and the kids find it fascinating. They love to brush their teeth, and they also love to eat toothpaste. And one of the kids had a sore and was putting toothpaste on the sore, and the sore was getting... So finally he came to me and I said, well, what do you have on there? And he said, toothpaste. I said, you know what? Toothpaste is for cleaning off dirt. It's not for healing sores. So we kind of got them so they don't put toothpaste on their sores anymore. We have drummers in our crew, and all of the kids love to play the drums. And this is what we use for our worship service. Only drums. I discovered that keyboards in Africa play one tune and the people are singing a different one. That doesn't work well. And so I have refused to let anybody bring a keyboard, and we just simply use the drums, and the kids do, they dance to the drums, they sing to the drums, and they praise the Lord to the drums. Our worships, these, and Sonny, this is for you and Andy. This was the Precious Gems Choir 2 years ago. See how they have grown. They are growing like bad weeds, but they are growing. And the Precious Gems Choir sing, and we laugh because as soon as one of our babies is able to walk, it will walk to the front and become part of the Precious Gems Choir. And Belize, who is the oldest of the Precious Gems, spends her whole time trying to get them to stand in a row. She doesn't get to sing much, but she tries to keep the kids in a row. But they do a great job, and they do love to sing. We have made a playground above our nursery for the smaller children and for the bigger kids. But we have swings. We, again, leveled the ground, and we put these swings. And they built the swings from just what we had. They're not fancy, but you know what? They serve the purpose. And this is the swings for the smaller children, and this is the swings for the bigger kids. And our biggest threat is the swing coming out and one of the little kids running in front of it. And so we're just kind of skeptical, but the kids love the swings. And one of these days we're going to have one of those things that go around, you know, and somebody said to me, well, now who ever heard of kids wanting something where they can go around and get sick and vomit? And I said, well, I don't know, but that's what they want, so we're going to get it for them as soon as we can. And we will build that from whatever material we have available also. This is, of course, I don't know who that old woman is. Mom, you know who she is? She must be somebody else. Couldn't possibly be me. Because I don't look in my mirror and see that woman. Whoever she is, she's just kind of in the way. But this is our baby, and his name is Jacob. He is new with us. He was 4 days old when the police found him in a ditch and brought him to us. And Jacob, bless his heart, from the time I first had children, which is a long time ago, I wanted to name one of my children for my father. I had a husband who didn't believe in naming children for people. And so now I have a baby named for my dad, and that is Jacob. My father's name was Jacob. So I'm very happy about having Jacob. I'm sorry that he had to be an orphan, but he is an orphan because nobody will claim him. Our children, these are Lucky and Emmanuel. Now, it's Lucky, but we call him Lucky. We had an incident when a man, one of the men who was teaching at our school, was standing along the road, and we were taking two of our children to a school in town. And he got in, Johnny was his name, and the little girls were 4 years old. And Johnny got into the vehicle, and Johnny said, I'm Lucky, meaning that he was happy to have a ride. And the little girls just burst out laughing and said, no, you're not Lucky, he's at home. This is the basketball court, and this is what I was telling you. The work was done to a certain extent, and there's a lot more work to be done. But it's hard labor. These guys came from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, not used to, but you sift the sand. You mix the sand by hand. You don't have a cement mixer. You don't have any. You break up everything to even get down to where you can build on it. So they had to remove the first broken down of cement and then work on it. So they worked very hard, but they didn't quite have enough time to finish what needed to be done, and they came up about $2,000 short on the project. But we're going to get that taken care of. These are the mamas who live at our house, and I want you to recognize them. We don't have a Mother's Day in Rwanda, But we have a day that honors women. And so when that happens, we gather together in the afternoon with all the women who are employed with us, and we have a special celebration for them and serve them sambosa and Fanta. That's as high a celebration as you're going to get in Rwanda. Education, we have a preschool, and we have, of course, working with a primary school, and we also offer adult education. This is the preschool. Now, the white building you see in the back is the little house that I first lived in before we bought the house for my old age. And we went in there and took out walls and made a classroom. And we figured, okay, we would have a classroom for our kids and for some of the poor from the neighborhood. But when we opened it, we had so many come that wanted to bring their children to school at our place that we decided it was time that we built a school. So we started Chakabidi School, and Chakabidi means middle. And our mountain is the exact middle of the country of Rwanda. So that is where the name Chakabidi comes from, because we are the center of the whole country. We have now three rooms where we have 147 children. Now, some come in the morning and the older ones in the afternoon, so that there are two sessions. We have three teachers and three assistant teachers. And we also have the pathway to learning, and that's the stones you see. And each stone is there in honor of somebody. $100 and you can have a stone. Or more than $100. We'll even give you as many stones as you want. But normally, whatever the contribution, $100 will get a stone. And Tom and Carolyn Nunley, they gave us the first $15,000 to start building the preschool. So they are our first patrons. And we have others who send and ask for a stone in memory of somebody who has passed, or somebody they love, or just somebody they want to honor. And this gives us then money to help with the education for the children. And we have, in our school, there are only 12 of our children that go to the preschool. Now, four of our kids go to the first grade primary. So 15 of that 197, because there are 50 at the primary school and 147 at the nursery school, daycare, whatever. But anyway, this is money to help the community children to come. We pay full tuition for our children to go to our school, but we offer no tuition to the very, very poor, those who cannot pay anything. We offer then a limited amount of tuition to those who can afford, and we also let them pay as they can. So we're reaching out to the community, and we're really, really happy to be able to do that. This is inside the preschool, and they have a big carpet where they sit, and they have tables and things where they move around. This is an international school, and it is using the international curriculum so that the children don't sit in seats. They actually are active all the time. And they have two teachers who work with them, and when we have anybody come as volunteers, they also go and work with the children. And so it's a great experience for teachers learning to teach, and teachers who want to teach, and just for people who love kids and want to be a part of it. We have a nutrition program, and this is something that is great, because most of our 3- and 4-year-olds who come to school in the morning have had no food, even from the day before. And so the only food they may have for that whole day is the sorghum, which is a kind of cereal that they drink, and bread. And also then we give them every week one egg. I'm told on the internet that egg is brain food, and children who have at least one egg a week learn faster and learn better. And we're testing it to see if it's true. Then we have opened our first adult class. Really, it's our second adult class, because when we opened our nursery school, the mothers who brought their children could not speak any English. And so in Hope House, we have opened a school for the mothers who want to learn English so they can then work with their children and they're also making their life better, because English now is the spoken language in Rwanda, but everybody has to learn it. And let me tell you, I tried to learn Kinyarwanda. It ain't easy. I don't have what it takes now to learn languages. So if you're a language person, get to it while you're young, because it's easier to learn. And they are, but they are learning English, and the mothers want to learn English. And we had 120 of the women from our community come to learn English at our school. Now, that was a free school for them, and it still is free. We don't charge them tuitions. So, but this, then, is the second part of our education, and it's a sewing center. We are teaching women to sew, teach them how to make a living by sewing. And so not only does it educate, it also is helping them to learn how to make, and we make, you want to hold that pocketbook up for me? They make pocketbooks that are absolutely wonderful. This is one I brought with me, but some of them have giraffes on, some have zebras on, some are the prints that are African. But these women are actually learning how to sew so that they can make a living to help support their families. And this building is what we renovated. It was just a building we used for storage. Now we have taken out walls and we have made it so that it is a sewing center. And these are, you remember the old Singer sewing machines? This is the kind we use, and we do by treadle. We don't have the electricity. So they actually do all of their, and the sewing is beautiful, but using a treadle machine is not an easy way to go. And then we do have a teacher, and she teaches how to do patterns, how to mark materials, how to cut. She does everything, and she is an excellent teacher. So we are starting our school. Hopefully the next school, part of our adult education, is going to be a culinary arts school, where, because we have eggs and we have milk, and therefore we have the most important ingredients to a bakery and to cooking. But the culinary arts also teaches how to work in restaurants, how to be hostesses, all of the things that have to do with being in the field of food. So this is something we're looking forward to getting started. And this is the building that we would like to own. It's for sale, but we would like to own it because this would give us the capacity to have our adult education go much, much further. And this, we're praying hard. This is the primary. Now, the primary is down over the hill from the preschool. So this, but this is, and we have been able to build two classrooms and a library. And the library, to me, is the most important part of all of it, because I want it to be the center where the children can learn how to play games, learn how to work together, be able to read, be able to participate and learn. I think it's a shame when in the U.S. schools have to cut down on things. They cut out the arts, and I think that's such a waste, because art is something we can share. Music we can share. Art we can share. Literature we can share. Everybody can learn to do math, and everybody can learn to do science and all of those things. But if you really want to connect with somebody, stand beside them and sing. Learn to dance with them. Become a friend. And that's what really makes the difference. There are 50 kids here. They graduated last year from preschool. They had a ceremony. We made them robes and hats, and they marched through the town and came up and got their diplomas. They were so proud. And then the kids who were 3 and 4 year olds wanted to know how soon they could graduate. They all want to graduate. This is inside the classroom. This is, we are unique because every one of our kids have a desk and a chair of their own. In the public schools, there are 61 children in one room, and not as big as ours, with one teacher. And 4 kids sit on one bench at one desk. So there's no place for them to even, and there's no way a teacher, and anybody who's a teacher here knows, you cannot do one-on-one if you have 61 pupils. And they don't have textbooks. We have textbooks in our school. But the Rwanda teachers' schools, public schools, do not use textbooks. They don't. They just, the teachers write on the board, and the children have to copy what they've written. Now, if you don't know how to write, it's hard to copy something that's written for you to look at. But with ours, we do have textbooks, we do write on the board, and we do work. And we only will have 25 children in a class. And then a teacher and an assistant works with those kids. So the school, the curriculum is much more extensive, and the children are learning. And I'm being the salesman now. $15,000 will build a whole classroom, put all the desks in it, all the chairs in it, all the shelves in it, and it will help 25 more kids go to school and have an education. This is inside our library, and I'm very proud of the library because it's the only one in our whole, the whole countryside where we are. We have the library. We are opening it up to the parents, so that in the evenings the parents can come, or in the daytime even, the parents will be able to come. And we have French books and Kinyarwanda books and English books, so that they also, and we have a teacher there all the time who can help the parents and help show them how. We need a librarian. If any librarian here who has retired or wants to come and stay for 3 months or so, I would be delighted to welcome you. I won't pay for your transportation to come, but I will give you free lodging and free food, and also lots of free love from the kids. They will adore you. We don't charge extra for the love. So you see, we have geography. These are the different fields we have books for. So geography and science, and then we have a whole section with pictures of things in Africa, so they don't lose their culture learning hours. This is very important to us. And then we have, and you can see, music and art. One shelf is for music, one is for art. When we build these, the next three, we're going to have one room, then we're going to take the music and art out of the library and actually put up acoustical pads and things so that we can have music and art, and it can be separate from the library itself. It's hard to work in the library if somebody's trying to do music at the same time. Art works with it, but not music. Water. Water is so essential to our lives. Water, you can't live without water. You can go a long time without food, living off the fat of the land. Well, maybe the hip, whatever. But water is something you have to have. And pure water, clean water, is at a premium in Rwanda. Water is at the bottom of a mountain. And this doesn't look real steep, but believe me, if you walk down that mountain, it is very, very steep. And the women and children and young girls carry the water in jerry cans on their heads from the bottom of that mountain up to where they can get on a road to go to where they live, or across to their villages. And it is, children are kept out of school to carry water. This is not good. These are children who have come, and you can see the jerry cans that they have, and they actually climbed that, were climbing down, and this is a snake-infested mountain. It's a mountain, and it's a dangerous place, but they walk up and down it to get their water. And it's at the base of the mountain. What happened was that we decided that we needed to have a better source of water. And so with the help of Rotary in Pittsburgh and Rotary International, they helped us to get this done. We, with just individuals, we built the reservoir at the bottom. And you can see the white round, it's the reservoir at the bottom. It goes down into the ground. The water from the spring that is in there goes into there and fills it. Okay, then at the top of the mountain, we'll go up and back. Okay, at the top we put another reservoir, and so that reservoir then is to contain water. Then we put another one along the road halfway up the mountain so that the children could get their water from that place. Okay. And the idea is to get the water from the bottom to the top, and then gravity would feed, and our new tank will go in at the school. So gravity then would feed both of those tanks and keep them full of water. The only thing I didn't think about was how to get the water from the bottom to the top. We couldn't afford electricity, so we couldn't afford to do that kind of thing. And Rotary International came in and said, you want to take it back. Another one. That, yep, there, okay? You see the solar panels on top of that building? There are solar pumps in that reservoir. Those solar pumps, because we've got a lot of sunshine in Rwanda, those solar pumps take that water from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain, and we have pure water, clean water, treated water, and the community benefits from all of this. There are over 3,000 people who get their water from that source. And then there is our farm. Let me tell you, I am not an animal person, and the animals know it, but I still look after them. My grandfather was a farmer, so I had some experience with farming, but I didn't know all the things that really needed to be known. And so our farm, we are very blessed, and this is our mama cow, and she just recently had a little baby. And I don't name my animals, because when I name things, I want to keep them, and I can't keep my animals. So she just gave birth, and we now have two milk cows that are giving 21 liters. The one big cow is giving 21 liters a day milk. And the other one, I'm not sure yet how much, because the baby's still nursing from mama. But if they are giving us enough milk, we have milk for our children, milk for the school, and we can actually sell some milk to the community at a price they can afford to pay. So we're very, very blessed. And if you see, my baby has the markings of her mama. She's got the mark on her face, but she's prettier than her mother. But, you know, I found that with my family. My girls are all prettier than me. We have precious goats, and goats are not there for milk. Goats are there to breed and breed for food. So the babies drink from the mamas, and then they grow up, and they are sold to places that, and you know, if you, I had some visitors at my house, and I live right next door to a restaurant. My big house is right next to a restaurant. And the one woman came to me, and she said, oh, it sounds so dear to have those goats talking in the mornings, making noises. I didn't tell her. They were waiting to be butchered. I thought, nope, I'm not going to tell her that. But you hear them crying for their mamas, and they really cry for their mamas, and they know who their mama is, and mama will not nurse any other baby, only her own. So she'll kick the other babies right away from her. She will not let them come in. And you know, we feed everybody's kids at our house. How about kicking them and sending them home? I don't think so. Then our pigs, and this is the latest of our pigs. She is a good mama, but she only had 5 babies. And I was telling Bob back here that we sold 2 pigs so we could get money to buy a big boar. And my term is stud, and I'm told that's not a good thing to say. But anyway, we're trying to get enough money, and a group of high school kids got together and raised enough money. So added to what we have, we're going to be able to buy a big one. And I'm told if you have a good male, they can have up to 12 babies, the mamas. Now, I don't know, as a mama, I want to have 12 babies, but as a farmer, it really works well. So this is where the pigs grow. And Andy and her family are the ones who helped us start with our pig farm. Our chickens, we have 800 chickens. Now, 300 of them are layers, and the rest are broilers. Broilers, we bring them in, and we raise them, and this is how they are with wings. Just a week after we bring them in is day old. They start getting their wings immediately because we feed them day and night. They keep a light on all the time, so the broilers get big. And by the time they're 3.5 months old, they are the size to be sold to restaurants. So we buy 100 to 200 babies each month, and we sell 100 to 200 grown chickens to the other places. So in time, we're hoping this will be, the pigs and the chickens will be a moneymaker for Urukundo and help us to help ourselves a little bit more. We also have rabbits. Rabbits are, well, you know, when you have lots of kids, they say they're having babies like rabbits. Rabbits have babies very quickly. They do get big, and they are raised for meat. We also keep the skins then and sell them to a vendor who uses skins to make drums and things. So, but they are very important. And our rabbit hutch is in pretty bad shape, so we're hoping that somebody's going to come and help us figure out how to make the rabbits live in a better condition. See, isn't she pretty? The project now in place is our school. Our children, as they graduate, we hope to have the next grade ready. When the preschool graduated, we had built the first grade, the three classrooms, and we actually went into debt to make sure we had the money so that those kids would graduate and have a place to go. Now we need a second grade, so we're trying to build three classrooms there. And this is leveling again. You have to level the mountain. You bring the mountain down to where you can work with it. You don't build this way. It isn't possible. But you do level it, and you get it ready. So now they are working on getting the ground ready for the next three classrooms. And we hope to have two classrooms for these first graders to go into second grade. Then next year, another two classrooms, and another two, and another two. And so this is our dream, and this is where we feel the Lord is leading us. That is the primary school, so the next three classrooms are coming straight out from the primary school, and they use the plumb line. Am I using the right word? The plumb lines to know how to keep it straight and keep it. Yeah. See, I'm not a carpenter either. But they actually are digging the, and you can see that's where the foundation will go. Now they will put big stones in there, and then little stones, and then cement on top of that, and then they will build with brick the rest of the building, because the government will not allow you to use mud brick anymore. Originally, everything in Rwanda was built by making mud bricks, and you make them on your own property, and they weigh like 20 pounds apiece. They're very heavy. But rain will destroy them. Anything heavy can push them down, and people die because houses fall in on them in rainstorms, and this is sad. But now the government is saying you need to use bricks. Now, out in the countryside, they still use the mud bricks, but in the town area where we are only allowed to use the bricks. And you can see that's the trough where the stones will go. And anybody who wants to buy a load of stones, I'd be very happy to take care of it for you. And so this is looking out from our school. So you see, we have the land. And this is what is so great, because even for the rest of the school, the primary school, we already have the land. So it helps us not to have to buy land when we want to build. And this is really, really great. I want you to meet my children. This is Kenny and Kenila. And Kenny and Kenila are twins. And unfortunately, and I'm sharing this with you, although they are twins, Kenila was born with HIV/AIDS. Kenny was not. I don't understand how two babies coming from the same, but they are paternal twins. And whether that has something, nurses or doctors among you would know, whether that has something to do with the fact that one child received the virus from its mother, the other one didn't. But they're beautiful children. She is strong and healthy and very well taken care of. In the hospital, we have three children who are HIV positive. Now, that doesn't mean they have active AIDS. It just means they have the virus and the potential for active AIDS. So of 47 children, we're very fortunate that only three of our children have the infection, because it is a very serious problem in Rwanda. This is David. David is one of the smartest four-year-olds I have ever met. When he was two, he was 4 years old. He's that bright. And he actually he has told me when I left to come here, "Mama, I am going to watch your bed, and I'm not going to let anybody sleep in your bed while you are away." So, thank you, David. But David, when he was about three years old, he was going to school with older kids. He came to me one day, this smart little kid, and he said, "Mama, I don't want to be a big kid anymore. I want to be a little kid." I said, "All right, David." So I took him out of the big kid thing, put him back in the nursery with kids his own age, and he's very happy. He's smarter than they are, so that makes him king of the hill, but he also is contented to be with the younger children. And for him to have been smarter than me, he knew that he was out of his element. And he came and told me, "I don't want to be a big kid anymore." So this was great. So now he's where he belongs. And this is So-So. So-So is a dynamo. He is a big, husky guy and is going to be a American football player because he's going to be big. So-So has a story. So-So was born in a hospital. His mother went there to give birth. And because she had no money, they would not give her a bed. So she gave birth, and an hour afterwards, they put her on a motorbike with her baby to go back into the country, and there's no roads, you just go this way. Mama hemorrhaged all the way home, and when she reached her village, she had died, holding her baby against the back of the driver, and they then brought So-So to us. Please, and you know what, I someday pray that we're going to have not a clinic, but a house where mothers who give birth and don't have money for a bed can come and recuperate for 2 or 3 days, and then let us also keep their babies in our clinic on a well baby clinic type thing where we can make sure they have vitamins and the shots that they need and all of that. This is in the vision. It's going to happen one day. We don't want to make orphans. We want to prevent orphans. And this is our lesson from So-So is do something and do it when you can. And this is Johnny. Johnny is my flower child. Johnny loves flowers. He brings me a flower every day. The only thing is he takes it out of my flower garden. And I have one rose bush that gets a rose on, and as soon as that rose comes on, Johnny picks it and brings it to me. But he doesn't bring it with a stem, so you can't even put it in water to keep it for a while. He just takes the flower and brings it to me. And he must have been watching me, because after Johnny brings me his flower and goes, then I have a paper bag beside in my office, and I put the flower in there. And the last time he gave me a flower, and he said, "Mama, don't put it in the trash." So now I've got to be aware that everybody sees everything I do, and mamas shouldn't put flowers in the trash. These are some more. Rebecca. Rebecca keeps her mouth shut because two of her teeth were knocked out when she was 2 years old, and she doesn't want you to see her mouth. And so this is another picture of So-So with the mama from the school, from the home. Ajid also has a history. Ajid was found, his mother was suffering from trauma and decided life wasn't worth living. And so she started wading out to the man-made lake that is there where they use it for rice, doing rice fields. And somebody saw her and yelled for help. They went and got that mother. She was clear out beyond where she could swim. And they brought her back to the land, and they brought Ajid also. She was going to drown herself and her baby. And so we have Ajid, and we're so happy to have him. He's a real sweetheart. And again, his mother is getting treated. And this is Kavine. Kavine is one of our babies. Diana, you saw her before, and this is Kavine. And Kavine started to walk just about 4 months ago. And the first thing she did when she started to walk was walk from the nursery to my house, which is down over the hill and quite a walk. But she knew that's where all the other kids went, and she wasn't staying behind. So she came straight down, and we found her on the path. This is Claude. Claude is a beautiful little boy, and Claude was found in a very abusive home. He has a grandmother who hated his mother. She drove the mother out of the house, and then because the mother left without the baby, she decided that the baby would not live. So his ear was almost cut off. He has some terrible marks on his little body where she burned him, where she used sticks on him. But you know what? He's back with us. It took a long time before he would let an older woman hold him because he was so afraid of her. But now he comes running just like all the other kids, and he's just a beautiful little boy. Trezor is one of our older kids. He is a very smart young man. He is graduating from secondary school, and he's at the top of his class, and we're hoping that we're going to be able to have finances to send him to university. And to send a child to university in Rwanda costs $4,000 for the whole year. Room, board, tuition, everything. So that we are just positive we're going to be able to get him to a university where he can continue his education. John Paul is our soccer player, and he is captain of our soccer field team. But he's a little guy, so he kind of gets beat up a lot when he's playing soccer. And Oliver also is one of our younger kids, and he is now in secondary school. So we do have 25 kids in secondary school. And so I say to you, Shades of Evening, peace at our home. Please keep us in prayer, and peace and love to you all. Thank you.
May the God of peace.